Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's turn in our Bibles. We are studying the book of Revelation on Sunday morning. We're going to turn to the fourth chapter. We have gone through all the churches of Asia that God purposely put in there for our edification. And now we're going to go into chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Just trusting the Holy Spirit as to exactly what I need to bring out this morning. This is a big lesson, and so we're going to just ask the Lord to bless this word to our hearts and cause us to be edified. To edify means to build up. So we want to be built up by the Spirit of the Lord and by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your goodness. And I'm asking you, Father, to be here in our presence, leading and guiding me as I speak, and the Holy Spirit be in control, that we might understand the Word of God. Oh, Father, in a greater way. Many of us have read this and studied this for years, Father, but we are believing you, Lord, that each one will receive from the Lord something good in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, we went through the study of the churches of Asia, and we found, and I hope some of you weren't here sometimes when we were studying a certain portion, but remember that we had two groups, and the chapter that we're going to be studying has a lot of reason why I'm telling you this again. In the second chapter, verses 8 through 11, there was a church that the Lord addressed, and it was the church of Smyrna, and they went through great trial, and he said to them, though they would have tribulation for 10 days and be martyrs for Christ, yet they would receive a crown of life. That's in verse 10, the latter part of the verse on chapter 2, verse 10. And he says, he that is overcometh, in verse 11, shall not be hurt in the second death. So they represent, as we went over the lesson before, they represent those who die in the Lord. Now, lately we haven't, in our country, we haven't had persecution to the point of someone taking a Christian's life, in martyrdom. But right now in Nigeria and different places, they are killing Christians. They are stealing their children out of schools, of Christian schools, and persecuting. There's great persecution in many, many places of Christians. But this church of Smyrna, as we've brought it out before, represents all the believers who die in the Lord, and they are real overcomers. They are people who are following God, yielding their lives completely to God. And if the Lord came right now, they would be in that group that would go instantly to be with the Lord. But they will be resurrected one day. And then in the third chapter, we had the church of Philadelphia, and that's in verse 7 of chapter 3. Both of these, the one for Smyrna, which speaks of suffering, the word itself does, and this church, both have the promise that they will be, that the Lord's going to come quickly for them, and they both will have crowns. Verse 11 of chapter 3 says, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Out of all of the seven churches of Asia, these are the only two groups that are going to have crowns. Now, that's very, very important, isn't it? So we're going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 4. And we're not talking about the churches of Asia now. We're talking about something else that God wants John to see. And so, of course, John is in the Isle of Patmos. He's a prisoner. And he's praying and seeking God for this revelation. That's why it's called a revelation. It's something that God gave him to show him what was going to take place. And so in Revelation 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. Praise the Lord. He looked. His eyes were on the Lord God, and he looked and he saw something marvelous. It was a vision. It wasn't a real, he wasn't literally being taken to heaven. He was there on the Isle of Patmos, laying there probably in a trance or something. But he looked up, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And that's the very first thing I want to talk about is not very often people see heaven. You know, once in a while you'll hear someone remark about almost going to heaven. I did. I went clear into the light, and they were calling me back. And then after a little while, I went again. I wanted to go, but they called me back. The nurse and the doctor called me back and raised my blood pressure, and I came back. But I know that this is the truth. Every one of us has been given an open door. Every one of us here can be overcomers in Christ. Every one of us have the provision that God has made for us, the Holy Spirit's power to work in our lives, and we can all go through that open door into this position. Now, all believers who know Christ are going to heaven, but some believers who know Christ in a deeper way and are walking with in the Lord and the Spirit and yielding their lives to God are going to have a special place, and that's what we find in this chapter 4. Now, he said it sounded like a trumpet talking to him. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, what's he going to do? He's going to sound a trumpet. The trumpet's going to talk to us. If we're ready to go, we're going to hear that trumpet sound, and we're going to go up to be with the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Praise the Lord. That's what we want to do. Hallelujah. There are many scriptures that talk about that. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, Apostle Paul says that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. That's another scripture. Better go back there and read that one. I know what it is in essence, but let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4 and just read that. Because this is so important for us to realize that the Lord wants us to be watching and waiting for his coming. That's what he said, didn't he? And John was caught up in spirit. Maybe the Lord will give us an experience like that sometime where we will see heaven. But here in this fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord," in verse 15, "that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede," it should be the word precede, "them which are asleep." Some will go to be with the Lord, like the church of Smyrna. But the Church of Philadelphia will be that representative group that are following God completely that will be ready for the coming of Jesus. And it says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, that's what we're looking for right now at this time. I feel it. I feel it in my spirit that he's coming very, very soon. I hope all of you have that feeling and that thought. Things are so awful in this United States. In this world, things are just upset, aren't they, everywhere. And this situation in Ukraine is just a horrible thing to be happening. But praise the Lord, he's going to come. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is another verse that I turned back, but I'm going to take the time to read that. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're longing for. If you don't feel that way about it, ask the Lord to give you that desire, because, oh, he promised that he would come back for us. Praise the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And Matthew 24:44, Jesus said, "Therefore, be you ready, For in such an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Praise the Lord. He's going to come. This world, so much unbelief, so much sinfulness. In this United States, this thing about the gay rights and all of that, this last week, just so sad, so sorry that this nation has turned out in this way. So in verse 1 there, notice he says, behold, and verse 1 of chapter 4 of Revelation, go back there if you're not there now. He says, behold, a door was opened in heaven, the first open door. Praise the Lord. That's first, the open door. Then there is a cry. He said, I heard a voice which was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. Now again, I repeat, the Philadelphia group, that there was no fault, blame, there was nothing said against them that way. They were looking for the coming of the Lord. He gave them that promise. I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast no man. Take thy crown. All those words that he spoke to them and to the Smyrna group. Those are the ones that will be in this group that will come into the presence of the Lord. And this will happen before the tribulation starts of 7 years. If you're not familiar with this that I'm talking to you about, there is going to be a 7 year of tribulation. Jesus will take his throne before that, right before that time. And his people that are going to be ready and watching for him at the coming of Christ are going to go away to be with the Lord Jesus. They are also called the bride of Christ in the scripture. And he's going to say, come up here. And boy, are we going to go. If we're ready to go, we are going to fly away. One place Paul says, in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. That we shall all be changed. Isn't that amazing? So notice in verse 2, John, he's there on the Isle of Patmos, and immediately when the Lord said for him to look up and so forth, he says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. His whole being was just enveloped in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was revealing to him precious and wonderful things. And he looked, and there was a throne. A throne. The throne was set in heaven. That, notice it's S-E-T. The word S-E-T means placed. It was placed in heaven. Now think about this. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ has been sitting at the right hand of God. He doesn't have a throne of his own right now. He sits at the right hand of God. And during this whole age that we live in, this church age, he's been praying for us. That's what he says. He's interceding for us all the time. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Think about that. You're getting problems, you're getting trials and tests, and he's up there praying for us, interceding for us. Praise the Lord. So this wonderful throne that is set here is a special throne. This is the throne for the Lord Jesus Christ, to have his own throne and to rule as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I think that's so wonderful. And it's been placed up there by God the Father for the Son. And there was somebody sitting on that throne. See, we had all those churches of Asia, that was speaking of the church age. Right now, we live in the church age, okay? And some may not be familiar with those terms, but this is the age we live in. But there'll be coming a day when it will be time for Christ to reign. And right before that tribulation time, he will take his throne. But one of the things that's going to happen is he's going to make a call for his saints of God who are overcoming and watching for him to come. And we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, and just go to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our body will be changed into his likeness. You've probably all seen movies where it showed the woman's ring laying there and her her garments laying there, and they said, oh yeah, she talked about Jesus coming. She talked about Jesus. She tried to tell us this. But Jesus will come and take us away. Oh, how wonderful that is. Praise the Lord. And so he's ready to reign, and he's calling some people to come up and be reigning with him. That's what Apostle Paul says, that if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. We're going to reign with Christ if we suffer with him. What does that mean, suffer? Whatever it is God has allowed, we take it. We follow his leading. We just yield our bodies to him. Whatever he desires for us, whatever he wants in our life. Yes, there's going to be suffering. We're going to have trials and tests. Those are the things that make us really seek after God and be more yielded to God and following God's way. And all of those things are going to work for us for eternal good, that we might be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this throne was set there in heaven, all ready for Jesus to be sitting on it. And he was, praise the Lord. And notice in verse 3, it says he. And he that set was to look upon like, and it begins to illustrate how beautiful it was by using different really wonderful stones. But we're just going to talk a moment about him sitting on that throne. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful that he is going to sit on that throne? In Matthew 19:28, Jesus said, the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. He said that of himself. They didn't understand what he's talking about. I hope you and I understand what the Word of God is telling us, that there's going to be a time when Jesus Christ is no longer going to be sitting by the right hand of God, his Father, but he will have his own throne. He will be ruling and reigning on that throne. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. And in the last chapter, chapter 3, verse 21 of Revelation, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And notice these, the writer trying to describe, and I know that he had the power of the Holy Spirit, but to describe to our finite minds, our little human puny brains, what it looked like for him to see Jesus sitting on his throne. Couldn't describe it except by mentioning very wonderful, glittering, beautiful stones. He said, first, to look upon it was like a jasper. He that sat on the throne was like a jasper. That's a diamond. That's what that word means, a diamond, a beautiful diamond. And we all have loves for diamond, don't we? But it comes, praise the Lord. Let me just find my text now here where I'm reading this. Okay, the jasper. It's a diamond. It's clear as crystal. And how is a diamond produced? It's produced by fire and pressure. It sort of speaks of what Christ went through to finally be on his own throne with his people with him. You know, it was a real, real sacrifice. He suffered tremendously, and it just looked like a glittering diamond when John saw this. And the next word there, it says, and a sardine stone. That doesn't mean sardines that stink out of the ocean. I never could eat them, okay? But it is the color of raw flesh, this sardine stone. It has a lot of variety of shades of red. And it speaks of the ruddiness and the humanity of Christ. He's not only the Son of God, but he also was the Son of Man. He had a natural human birth, though he was not the son of Joseph. He was the Son of God, and Mary was his mother. And so that jasper stone, these two things show two sides of him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but yet a human being. He will have a human form. Isn't that something to think about? Praise the Lord. His blood, is so precious to God, was all poured out upon the ground. So it speaks of the ruddiness and humanity of Christ. But then there's a rainbow around about the throne. We love rainbows, don't we? Especially we who believe the word of God, that God created that first rainbow to show that there would be no more wrath. He was going to make things proper again as far as humanity living here on this earth. Can you imagine that he would use a rainbow round about the throne? Praise the Lord. It speaks, what does it speak back there with Noah? That the promised judgment is over. The flood was over. There was not going to be, he said that. There will never be a flood like Noah's flood again. As far as this earth is concerned. There will be a terrible, terrible cleansing of this earth. And that's during the tribulation. Fire and brimstone and all the things that will cleanse this earth. But praise the Lord. It speaks, the rainbow speaks of God's mercy in the time of judgment. You see, when we start this chapter 4, we're going into the tribulation. The tribulation starts when Jesus takes his throne and calls his beloved people that are worshiping him and are yielding their lives to him. That is the beginning of the tribulation. He reigns on high, and he's going to bring about the judgments. He will be the one who brings forth the judgments. Praise the Lord. So, speaking of God's mercy in the midst of judgment, you know that there'll be people born again in the tribulation time when the old Antichrist is ruling on his throne? There'll be people that are born again. There will be many, many people that take the mark of the beast, and they will die horrible deaths. But many, many Christians will be beheaded for Christ during the tribulation time. Now notice it says also another stone there. In sight, this rainbow was in sight like an emerald. And that's kind of hard to understand how the rainbow would look like an emerald. But maybe... The emerald being green speaks of life out of death. That's my birthstone, so I really like emeralds. But anyway, it shows life out of death. That's what has happened when he calls his believers home to him, the ones that are in the graves. It's life out of death. They're going to be resurrected. If I go to be with the Lord one of these days, I'll be resurrected. You will too, isn't it? Beautiful just to go and be caught away to be with the Lord and join the believers who are living, who are dedicated to God and worshiping and praising him. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so beautiful just to think of all of these beautiful tokens that of God that he mentions here of what it would look like to see the throne. Can you imagine that in your mind, what it would be like to see Jesus sitting on his throne? Oh, what a vision that would be. Praise the Lord. All right, we don't have much time to go into the latter part of this chapter, so I'm just going to read a little bit. But around about the throne were 24 seats, it says, in the original here. This, not the original, but the translation we have. And that word seats actually means thrones. There are 24 thrones around about Jesus' throne. What are those thrones for? What are those thrones for? Well, it says there, round about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon these thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. What did he promise the Philadelphia church? What did he promise the Smyrna church? He said crowns. He was going to give them crowns for their yieldedness. So these people are believers that have gone to be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4 again. He's going to sound the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This group represents overcomers, people who yield their life to God, walk with God. And you know, it isn't of ourselves. If you think that you can never do that, think again. It isn't you that is doing it. It is God that works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. Let Him do it. He will. He will. You'll go through trials. Trials are hard. But He's always there with us. He's always with us, holding us up, giving us grace, giving us more strength all the time. Praise the Lord. My daughter's been wanting me to write my life story, and I can't seem to get off the childhood. But anyway, God has taken me through many, many trials. I've lost a child to muscular dystrophy. You know all of this stuff. I'm not even going to go into it. My husband has gone to be with the Lord. I'm the only one left of my family. Does that make me feel bad? No, because I know where they are. And one of these days I'm going to see them. But we're not going to have time to go into all of this today because we're right near our closing time. But these people that are there with this white raiment, see, that's what the other scriptures talk about. When we are believers in Christ, we are given white garments. In God's sight, we look like we're dressed in white garments. Even the innumerable company in chapter 7 is dressed in white robes. And so it speaks of how that these are believers and we are righteous. And I'm going to give you one more scripture because a lot of times, oh my goodness, you hear these people sometimes on the radio or television and they interpret something they don't know anything about, and it really is amazing. This man came on and he said, I don't have any idea who these 24 elders are. I don't know who they are. I don't know what on earth it's talking about down here where it talks about four living creatures. He says, I think there's some kind of angelic beings or something. He's supposed to know the Word of God, but I want you to read a verse with me over in the fifth chapter, okay? Right, begin with verse 8, and then we'll close. Verse 8 through 10. And when he, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials or golden bowls that were full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And you have made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign over the earth. It should say over the earth, the original. So who are they? They're believers in Christ who have walked with God, who have yielded their lives as instruments of righteousness for God, just given it all. And they're going to be greatly rewarded one of these days, sitting on thrones around the Lord, helping Him to judge and wearing crowns on their heads. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Now you might say, well, how could I ever do that? Let me tell you, it's not you. It isn't you. Your part is to say, here I am, Lord. I don't understand, but I want that place. And if you purely and wholly want to please God and you really want what He has, the best He has, just ask Him. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have trials. But don't we all have trials? The unbeliever has trials. They lose their children, you know, to death. They lose their husbands to death. They have all kinds of wrecks and problems, yes. But they don't have anyone to turn to because they don't pray to God. But we as believers, we have to go through some trials sometimes to really cause us just to cling to the Lord. Just, you know, He's so precious, and He deserves every bit of our praise. He deserves everything. all of our love. He's just so faithful and so beautiful. Praise the Lord. So that's where I'm going to close right there today. Lord willing, we'll pick up with about verse 4 of chapter 4 the next time we study. God is faithful.